This week, we build an aqueduct from South Carolina to California. Welcome to the Midwest Peace Process.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you now. Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
I have the pleasure to present to you
the Midwest Peace Process.
The world is very different now.
The Midwest Peace
To remind
process.
America of the fierce urgency of now. 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 Now.
Welcome to episode 88. Today is October 8th, 2015. I'm Jerry.
I'm Jeremy.
This is Rob.
Our break music is provided once again by the Polish ambassador. This week, we have a potpourri of topics once again.
A potpourri of topics.
Yes, a potpourri of topics.
Nice.
Very good. Yeah, we're going to cover the Pope's visit to the United States. We're going to talk about the most recent mass shooting in Oregon. And we're going to start things off with a little bit of a recap of last episode where we interviewed Sue Meredith. She is a Missouri state representative for District 71. And she met with us last time. We talked for quite a while. That's episode 87. You can check that out. But we each had a few thoughts we wanted to share about how that conversation went. So I guess I'll let Jeremy start us off with
the mysterious Jeremy.
His comments.
Yeah. She said, I don't know if it was after the recording was over, she said, "Are you okay?" And hey, I don't know what you mean, but one, yes. And two, no, because...
Do I look not okay?
Because I've just realized that from our conversation with you, that why government is screwed up.
Yeah.
So one of the big things was her pet project of getting the extra money for Alzheimer's respite, for people caring for someone with Alzheimer's. She increased the money that the state has available. And it's, yeah, that's nice, but I'm going to guess that's not why her constituents voted for her.
Right.
She said it was something personal for her and important to her, and that's not what the government is there to do. It wasn't
right.
Really solving anything.
It's a pork barrel project.
Yeah.
Well, it's not solving anything.
It's not solving anything, Rob. That doesn't solve anything.
It provides double the respite care we had before. That solves a problem with respite care.
But define that then. Because this is money that an individual can apply for.
Right.
Okay. And it's, what was it, like $200 or something, a one-time, so they can pay for somebody else to watch over their loved one while they go out to dinner. She presented it. So now instead of covering that for 50 people, she got enough money that it would cover it for 250 people.
There you go.
Okay, that's nothing is solved, though. That didn't solve anything.
Right. It wasn't like it was R&D money on how
now,
to cure Alzheimer's. Or
now we figured out how to give everyone respite
when
they need it.
Right.
It was just a few more people, and
it's solving a symptom.
It's not
fixing a root cause.
I asserted was what she was also doing with her support of some of the welfare programs that we're treating symptoms. We aren't fixing anything, and that we don't have the resources to keep treating all these symptoms because the problems stay, and actually the problems get worse. And that seemed lost on her, at least when I was presenting it. But then she started talking about, well, we need job training. And I said, that's what I'm talking about. And she didn't seem to meet my mind.
I have to say that, you know, she fit my stereotypical definition of a liberal, you know, the bleeding heart liberal who, I mean... her solutions were intended to make herself feel better and other people of like mind feel better.
Yes, feel better. But
they
not,
didn't ask, they didn't have to solve the problem. That wasn't a criteria. It was just, you know, feel good politics.
Yes.
That was only directed at other people of the same political persuasion?
No,
that's
just
pretty callous.
I don't think that's what Jerry was saying.
You said of like mind. To make herself feel better and other people of like mind. Are all the liberals in the secret like posh hotel clinking white wine glasses and saying, don't we feel good about our charity efforts?
Yes. Like I said, it's stereotypical. But that is the stereotype, right? That liberals aren't trying to solve the problem. They're just trying to make themselves feel better. Right?
It's the guilt that you've talked about on the show before, right?
They're trying to assuage their guilt. They're not trying to solve the problem.
I didn't get that at all from her. Okay. I feel like she was boots on the ground in the foster care system and in the legal system, trying to make things better. That she wasn't just, and we could talk about like the, you know, the classic kind of Hollywood liberal thing where, or like Real Housewives of New York, which I love on Bravo TV. Check it out; it's great. But there's a whole culture inside of that show where there's a lot of people that give a lot of money to various charities, never see really where the money goes. The whole point of giving the money is so you can get into the party with all the other liberals that, you know, pretend to care about whatever the cause is. And you drink your cosmopolitans and live large. You know, there's that whole thing. I didn't get that at all from her. I feel like she's got the same kind of empathetic heart, but I didn't think she was just doing it to impress fellow white wine infidel liberals.
No, I would agree that she's not trying to impress anyone. She's not doing it, you know, to make herself look
okay.
great.
Okay.
You know,
right.
But I don't think she's motivated by the right. Go ahead.
When you said she's boots on the ground trying to make the foster care system better, I don't think she was trying to make the system better. I think that's what I was getting at with her.
Okay,
I was trying
to be respectful of her while
talking about it, but
she's trying to make this particular kid's situation better.
Yes.
Right.
Which is admirable, admirable, and she's doing a lot more than I'm doing. But
that's boots on the ground.
That is boots on the ground, but it's not making the system better.
Right.
It's making that one situation better, and we don't have the resources to do that.
Right. I was also very frustrated that she didn't recognize that as charity. Right. She just wouldn't accept that what she's doing is charitable work. Right. She is providing a charity service
via the government.
Well, no. Frankly, she's
her
not.
Own resources.
She's a volunteer. She's a court appointed special advocate. For foster kids.
But her role in the legislation is to use the government to advocate her piece of the pie for her.
And if she is doing that, she did not do a good job of communicating.
But I think that's why
message.
She's trying to increase the Alzheimer's respite care.
Okay, maybe. But all I heard was, "Hey, I do this in my own time. You know, I'm a court appointed special advocate on my own time. It's one of the things I do is volunteer work." Right? Because this is a problem that I think, you know, they need a lot of help, so I'm willing to help. Great. And then acknowledge that you are providing a charitable service.
I guess I don't remember not acknowledging that time was...
Well, it was because I was saying that, you know, charity is not a legitimate function of government.
Right, because I guess she was doing that on her own time, but then she would go to Jefferson City and advocate for the same things using a government vehicle.
Granted, but my point was, because she asked me, well, if the government doesn't do it, who will?
Right.
You remember her asking that?
That's right.
And I said, well, you will. People like you will. They will step up and they will take care of these foster kids.
Right.
Because obviously you've done it, other people are doing it, and you're not getting paid by the government to do it.
But maybe she feels like maybe it just feels like you're always swimming upstream, and maybe that $200 extra would be crucial and huge, and you know.
And I'm sure that makes her feel better, and she sleeps better at night.
It's not just that; it probably helps whoever's getting the $200. I'll grant you the larger question of like, Well, what if it was $400? What if it's $600? Like, where does it end? You know, and exactly. if that's one person's pet project, I mean, there's sadly in our human condition we have 8 million diseases to afflict families.
And right, others don't.
Right, that's the question. I wouldn't attribute her approach to being kind of a cynical play on the you know, impressions of others, but I will grant that her efforts don't seem to be. You know, it's not going to create less foster kids in the future. Maybe if these kids get taken care of better when they become fathers and mothers, maybe that's a way to handle it, you know? Maybe that is helping solve it. I don't know.
All right. So, that's probably enough about...
Probably enough.
Ms. Meredith. She's not here to defend herself anyway, so...
You're going to get an email in the morning.
So, all right, so what did you guys have to say about the Pope's visit?
I don't have a lot on the Pope. I think what I have to say is the lady from Kentucky, who the county clerk or whatever.
Kim Davis,
yes, who refuses to give marriage licenses. And
yeah.
There was some photo released of all of the people who were supporting her, well, then her lawyer admitted, yeah, that photo was doctored. That wasn't a real event. And then
I didn't hear about that.
I'll have to check. There's
a picture somewhere.
Yeah, and I only caught a little bit of the story, so I'll call me out if I'm way off on that. I'm sure somebody will, but I'll research it. I'll send Jerry notes on it so he can put it in the show. But I'm pretty sure that was a.
But the
story going around.
Maybe that doesn't really matter because the Vatican confirmed that they met, right?
Well, no. These are two separate things.
So okay, sorry.
There was.
Go for it.
She apparently, at one of her rallies after she was released from jail, they were showing, whoa, look at this throng of people supporting her, and it wasn't really like that. She didn't have that many people there. So then she meets with the Pope, and they say the Pope told her, stick to your guns, or whatever he told, you know, essentially keep fighting the good fight.
He probably didn't use that phrase.
Right. So... But then the Vatican says, "Well, they met, but that's not really that's not really what happened. You know, he didn't really wasn't what he was saying." So, like, you're talking about Christian values, yet in these two instances, it seems like you're lying or fabricating things. How Christian are you really? If you're going to use those kind of tactics to push your agenda, then I'm not buying your agenda. And then the other part of the Pope's visit there's a meme going around. I think you even posted it on the Facebook page about hanging out with the liars.
Yeah, and prostitutes and tax collectors.
Yeah. Which is true. It's the equivalent of the Catholic two-timers, the Easter and Christmas Catholics, you know, they're very holy on those two holidays, and then the rest of the year, I don't know, just more hypocrisy in the government, that's all.
Why do you say it's hypocrisy? I mean...
Oh, is it Boehner who was up there in tears, you know?
He's the one that brought him there!
Great.
And you don't think he's a real Catholic? You think he's faking the Catholic thing?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think, from what I don't know John Boehner, I've not met him, but I don't think he's embodying the Catholic spirit. I think most people in our government embody. If they were there and really, what's the word? Somehow associating themselves with the Pope.
If I
have an audience with the Pope, I feel like I should be worthy in some way. I think
there were probably some, you know, whoever is the real Catholics in the group, your Bidens and your Boehners, I think it probably meant a lot to them. The rest is just deference and respect, and
right.
You show up when they're going to speak, and then you clap at the end. I don't know. I don't think everybody there was saying, oh, I'm papal worthy.
All right.
And what I don't really get about the Kim Davis stuff is, like, maybe, I don't know, maybe this is the blind spot when everything seems obvious to you. I don't really understand the Kim Davis thing. Like, if you don't want to do it, you have, like, the complete right to not do it. But then you don't get to do that job, you know? Like,
right. Yeah, I agree.
What if I have, like, a Christian, you know, I have a my faith prevents me taking out the trash, you know? Well, like, all right, now my wife's going to kick me out because I'm going to take out the trash. You know what I mean? You can't just say...
You work for Midwest Waste and... Oh, right. I can't.
I don't do...
Make a landfill. That goes right. against my religion.
Right, that's your job.
Then you can't
drive
the trash truck.
Right. And I think if she wants to quit on those bases, even if she wants to throw a PR storm about the fact that she's got to quit her job because she doesn't... Hey, I'm fine with that, too, but I don't understand why she becomes a martyr in that situation or why she gets to kind of hijack the government.
Because Fox News needs a martyr, right?
That's right.
That's, I mean, that.
Yeah, why are we even talking about this? And then Huckabee all gets all up in it, right? Kind of tries to ride the coattails.
So why do you think the meeting between her and the Pope wasn't advertised when it happened? Like, we had to find out about it a few days later, right, after the Pope was gone, after, you know, all the...
Because it probably would have generated some protests of his activities, and I don't think they wanted to deal with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this Pope in particular is pretty hard to figure out, right? Because he's not...
He's awesome.
He's not playing the political game that other popes in the past have played.
Right.
Which I think is great. You know, it's a breath of fresh air. He clearly has a different agenda than previous popes. But by the same token, I'm not sure that a complete lack of political savvy is good for him and for, you know, what he's trying to achieve. Because
I think he's savvy enough. I think he completely agrees with Kim Davis not issuing the marriage license.
I don't question that at all. But
he also doesn't.
But
like,
he could have easily met with her secretly, and the word never would have gotten out that he met with her. Right?
You think it was leaked on purpose?
Somebody made the press aware of it,
and it makes me feel good about my Catholic faith because this guy is just a swirl of confusion. Everybody who wants to go, all those Congress people that wanted to go to that speech and have the Pope tell them they were right, nobody won. Because he just, equal opportunity destroyer there, you know? Like, diss some capitalism, hit some climate change, hit some pro-life, hit some, you know, like, worry about the immigrants, you know? Like, everybody got an equal dose of pain.
Right.
And so it made, like, maybe he's right, you know? Because when you look at the political system and how absurd it is, you know, that somebody could show up and be, like, completely authentic and completely destroy, you know, be... You know, give outrageous applause lines to both sides. You know, like if you have a system that's screwed up and somebody can come like from the outside, like an alien, and say, let's do it this way, and everybody's mad, maybe that alien's right.
Right.
You know?
Like Donald Trump.
maybe not so much. Yeah, I don't know about that.
So maybe the Pope should run for president.
I disagree with that because, I disagree with your little funny analogy over there. Because I don't know, I don't see Donald Trump giving too many applause lines to the left. Is he? I don't think so.
Probably not.
Right. He's not talking about climate change and you know, and social justice.
But he's also not worried about appealing to his base because he doesn't have a base.
They're alike in that they're trying to be authentic to themselves.
Right.
But to... Easy there, Tiger, on equating authenticity.
Did I just compare the Pope to Donald Trump? Yeah,
you did, right. Wow. So let's just...
You heard it here first.
Let's just take it easy there a little bit. And let's just assume the Pope is a little bit more centered upon things that are...
I went to Philly to see the Pope. Well, he's no Donald Trump, but he's all right.
Both have funny things on top of their head. With Pope, the Pope, it's a hat, and
well, they're both
Trump, it's hair.
And as a more liberal Catholic, it's just the best thing from seeing the Pope Friedrich. What was the old guy? What was the red shoe man? It was Friedrich, wasn't it?
Benedict.
Jeez.
Friedrich.
Well, it shows you how much I care about that guy.
That's a young Frankenstein.
This is the Catholic on the panel who can't remember the last Pope's name.
I mean, of course, all my good liberal shows like to post these pictures, you know. But you see Pope Benedict, and he always had, like, the big gold things and the red shoes and, you know, the whole deal. And he looked like death warmed over. Remember all those pictures?
Yeah.
And here you got this guy, you know, like, speaking his little broken English. And you got to think about his broken English, because he's got to say Mass in Italian and Latin. Like, this is like awesome as his fourth language.
Well, John Paul spoke, like, what, seven languages or something?
I can't hang with that. Ratzinger. He was right. He was Cardinal Ratzinger. He's got to come get you.
Yeah, back when he wore a brown shirt.
And I saw on good, Rachel Maddow that when Pope Francis was installed, one of the first things he did is he gave the old St. Louis Archbishop, what was that guy's name?
Burke.
Yeah, he gave him a desk job. I love it. Love it. It's a great time.
Yeah.
Good era.
Raymond Burke, star no longer rising.
Yes, that's right.
Is it Raymond?
Yeah, it was Raymond Burke. Yeah,
I think that's right. All right, well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about the mass shooting in Oregon. So stay with us. Football and getting a new mattress, because that's what a bunch of middle-aged guys talk about when we're not talking about politics.
You go to the mattresses. It's from The Godfather.
So there was another mass shooting in the news this week, unfortunately. Yet another one. I think The Onion has kind of summed this up. They just run the same story now every time one of these happens, you know.
What's the headline?
I don't remember exactly.
I know what it is.
Something about there's no way to stop this as the only country where it still happens frequently.
Right.
Yeah. So they're just running that same story. They're trying to send the message that, hey, this is happening far too often, and, you know, we're not going to make fun of it. Over and over and over again, and it's obviously an issue that seems somewhat unique to the United States, but
what's the real?
Yeah, I mean, do the root cause analysis on it, right? What is the
gun ownership?
No,
they like to use that argument, but it's not.
Right. I don't think it is either.
So is it everybody's on psych meds?
I think that's certainly a factor.
Okay.
We never seem to spend enough time doing the postmortem on the previous shooting before the next one happens.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's somebody online that's been doing the analysis on, you know, how many of these shooters are actually found to be imbalanced in some way. I think the assumption is they all are, but maybe not. You know, I read something earlier this week. They were saying that, you know, that this shooter and others, that you can't blame any mental health issues on it, because it's not that they just snapped and, you know, shot a bunch of people. These were planned, you know, methodically planned incidents that, you know, you wouldn't expect somebody who's psycho to go to that level of planning. I'm not sure that's true.
Yeah.
I think that is part of the sickness, right? They go through this because they're following the pattern of previous shootings and previous psychopaths who have had to go through this methodical planning ahead of time in order to pull it off. So, I don't know. I mean, I know the answer is not more regulation on guns.
Right.
So,
and how does going through methodical planning to kill a bunch of people, how is that not psycho?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's the
right. I mean, a rational person doesn't do that. They don't. Yeah. They don't sit there and plan how they're going to kill a ton of people. That's not something a normal rational person does.
So somehow I got into a little bit of a rage issue with this topic that I didn't expect. Could be the beer.
Rage.
That's right. So one thing that really depresses me about this whole thing and the storyline of these mass shootings in America, the way it all goes, is it happens, everybody's at work, and, you know, they get the Google alert or whatever, and it shows up on the good old Drudge, you know, and you go, oh, it's a new one, you know, and then you kind of count the body count.
Why did you have to throw Drudge in there?
Because that's what I do. And it's actually where I went. What? Anyway, that's not my point. Anyway, so everybody shows up
even use it?
To your favorite to Jeremy's favorite site, Drudge Report.
You just discredited your whole storyline here.
I'm going on here. So everybody looks at the body count and hopes it's not too bad. And then we all look at like how awful it is, and we learn about the families and the victims, and there's a candlelight vigil, right? And then at some point like 2-3 days later, there's always some feel-good story that comes out of it. Like, oh, here's a savior that's saved two kids. Here's, you know, a pregnant lady who was able to birth her child as her last act. Or, you know, and we all get this little soothing thing that comes right over the wound, and then we all click like on Facebook and share, and we all feel good about it after a little bit. And then it's like the whole thing goes away via some little anecdote that somehow smooths the whole thing over. And it's partly a social media thing. It's partly like just a human need to feel good about something that's terrible. But it seems like it happens all the time. This one had the guy who like kind of tried to rush the shooter or whatever. Yeah, that's right. You know, and like you see that and you're like, oh, it's all better. We had a bad thing and we have a good thing, and now it all evens out and everybody feels good about themselves. And another thing is, we always like, why does this keep on happening? Is because we keep. I completely agree as the resident liberal on the program here that I don't think it's really a gun law issue, because you this guy had all these guns legally, and I don't really think the gun laws would have stopped this from happening.
Right.
But I do think that. But like, anytime someone tries to get to the root cause of this thing, so everybody says, no, don't politicize the victims. And so we're always in the phase of don't politicize until the next one happens. Then we're always in a and there are I will completely acknowledge that once these things happen, the NRA gets their guns on up, sometimes quite literally, you know, and the gun control Brady Bill activists say, oh, this is our big chance to make a stand, you know.
Right.
So, and I see that all happening. But it seems like we never really get anywhere about, you know, I haven't heard anybody ask a question about psych meds or anything. It's all like, well, do we need a gun law? No, we can't have a gun law. And, you know, then you listen to conservative radio and they're talking about car crashes and maybe we should stop cars. You know, just the stupidity just rolls on and on. I got another thing, Jerry.
Okay. Go ahead. I have something to say to that, but go ahead.
Okay. All right. All right. Go ahead, because my next point's not quite related, so go hit it.
So I have recognized a difference in this particular event from previous ones. Two things. First of all, the calls to not politicize it, right? Not to push any sort of political agenda in the wake of the shooting. That didn't happen this time. And I mean, Obama was leading the charge, right? He had his little press conference and he didn't pull any punches. That was not a press conference to mourn the victims. That was a press conference to say, hey, we've got to do something to stop this.
Yeah.
This has got to stop, right? So that's different. I mean, normally you're right. There is some waiting period before the talking heads start talking about all the ways that this could be solved.
Right.
And that waiting period didn't happen. I mean, it was, what, an hour before Obama was on TV right. talking about this?
And I saw a tweet that claimed that you know, George Bush said, like, one of the low points of his presidency was when Kanye West said he didn't care about black people during Katrina, and that, you know, that whole comment. Like, there was a tweet that said one of Obama's worst feelings as president was after Sandy Hook, and there was this kind of momentum growing to pass something, and it completely died.
Yeah.
Like, so a guy shows up in a kindergarten and, like, blasts a bunch of kindergartners, and that's not enough. We just say, can't do anything, you know. So, like, the frustration's growing there,
right.
you know. So now it happens at a college. It happens in Aurora, Colorado, and we all just go, you know, it's like.
So the other thing that's different about this time is you're not hearing the shooter's name everywhere.
It's exactly what's my second point.
It seems like the media has finally learned that, you know, the natural-born killers phenomenon, right? They finally learned that you don't make celebrities out of these assholes.
Right.
You treat them like they don't even exist, you know. And we got a link to a story in the show notes about the Oregon sheriff who... you know, refused to even name the shooter. Right.
Right.
He wasn't even going to mention his name because he didn't want to give him credit.
Right.
Which is what he assumed this guy wanted.
Yes. And I saw a video, you capitalists over there. I love me a little capitalism. But I saw a video that was a clip of this sheriff saying, I'm just not going to say his name because I don't want to give him any recognition or glory that he wants.
Right.
Right after that, the newscaster said, you know, on some kind of fancy news program, was like, well, we'll tell you about him. Here's, like, that was their edge. And they went through every little detail. That was their way to get viewers. And God bless them. You know, I really don't fault them in a good capitalist society. There's a million news outlets covering this. Like,
so,
what can they do to get views? Because their job is to make money. It's not to extol some kind of moral virtue. So they're like a snake. They're like the scorpion eating the turtle. You know, that's just what they do.
So,
I don't think scorpions eat turtles.
No, probably not.
It's a frog, actually.
Is it the frog, and they're going across the river? Yeah. Okay.
So, I mean, fairly major news outlets like NPR and Huffington Post, if that's a news outlet, I'm not sure. But neither one of those, they both refused to publish the shooter's name.
Maybe we're getting somewhere.
I think if that trend continues, that, you know, God forbid there's another mass shooting, but I think we know there will be. Maybe the next time all the news media will get on board that train and we will stop talking about these losers. And
that could be capitalism at work there, Rob, where the push is, we like the news outlets that don't do that.
That's a nice way to see it.
Well, it's valid.
They all band together and form some sort of trade organization, and they all agree.
They just
next
decide.
Time,
right.
none of us are going to report who this guy is.
And if you do, we'll call you out.
Yeah.
Right.
That would be another capitalist.
Well, yeah.
There's also
maybe not a market. It wouldn't be market motivated. It would be some kind of.
There's also the, let's not hide their identity either, because, you know, then are we giving them some kind of cover? Like,
well,
you know, where's the line?
I have to believe that most of them now are motivated by the media frenzy. That's what they want.
Right.
They want to go out in a blaze of glory, and they want their name all over everywhere.
I'll show everyone. Right.
Even what do you think about only for a week?
Well.
What about the Ben Carson quotes that have come out? That, you know, a little bit of blame the victim of that. You know, well, they didn't rush the shooter, or they didn't, you know, behave the right way.
I haven't heard all of them. I heard him say, "If I had been there, I would have given up my life," or something like that. That's a little presumptuous,
right?
You know,
I'm not sure anybody really knows how they would react in that situation.
Right. And anytime you say, like, "Well, you know, they should have done that," it's like, "Well, it's your fault that you got shot." I mean, that's the implication.
That's pretty
awful.
That's a mistake for him. He has a good following, but I think we're hearing him speak a lot more now. And it's maybe he's not the not quite what we thought he was, but. But one angle I'm surprised we're not hearing about, anybody? The fact that he was asking people, are you a Christian? And then they said yes, shooting them.
Right.
So why isn't the media talking about that? And I think we all know
why. Well, I feel like I've heard enough about it. I don't know what media I'm watching.
Right,
you know, I guess I don't know. I
hold up shop here and go home.
Well, I guess I don't know what I've seen that, but I knew about that, and I didn't.
Yeah, I've heard it too, but
we know about it, but they're not.
It has not been.
It
has not been the lead of that story. I don't think that you know that this guy was out hunting Christians, right? And somebody just posted on Facebook today the little meme. It said that, you know, 2 months ago or whatever, the South Carolina shooting in the church.
Yeah.
You know, so you got a white shooter kills 9 black Christians in a church, and everybody's railing against, you know, the gun and a flag and Southern states.
Yep.
But then when this said a black shooter, I think he was mixed race, but anyway, a black shooter kills 9 white Christians in a school, and everybody's going after the NRA.
Right.
Well, okay, so that's a little hyperbolic, but it does illustrate, you know, an interesting dichotomy there that when the races are reversed, the victims are different colors.
Didn't he get kicked? Part of the reason he got kicked out of basic training was his. He got flagged for a distaste about organized religion. Did you hear that?
I didn't read that.
So he was in basic training and then like got booted out.
Yeah.
Well, and he tried to commit suicide, right? Isn't that why he was discharged?
No.
Oh, I haven't heard all that.
I thought that's what I read in one account.
I did see that he was railing on not having a girlfriend, and there's been more than one shooter.
Yeah.
So I think we need to legalize prostitution is what the real solution.
No, I just think women need to step up and do their part to prevent these mass shootings. Come on.
Just a little. Great quote.
Oh, wow. We're getting on some dangerous ground here.
Yeah. All right, you got any stories in the reading room you want to talk about?
Cancer-stricken children, parents ejected from park near the White House. It was in the Washington Post. It's happened more than... We've seen stories around about these kinds of things where there's all of a sudden the area around the White House is locked off, people are shooed away, they're made to wait for hours and hours. It seems like they should have something better in place than being such an inconvenience to some event that was approved. This was an approved event, and the president decides to move, and this is not an attack on our sitting president. This is any president who would do such a thing. It seems like maybe they should revise how they're going about protecting the president, or what seems like we should have a better plan in place. They should have a better plan in place.
So I didn't read this story. I'm not familiar with the details.
It was some kind of charity benefit for children with cancer.
Okay.
So families are in the park. I don't know what park it was, but it's near the White House. They all of a sudden said, you need to get out, and we'll let you back in maybe in an hour. And then it turned into 2 hours and then 4 hours. So here are these families with young children. Well, you can't really do that to kids. You can't tell kids, you just wait here for 4 hours.
So were they ushering them out for security reasons?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they got some sort of credible threat warning.
It wasn't even a credible threat. It was, the president's moving, so we need to...
Oh. And he was at the park and he needed to leave?
I'd have to reread the story. I put this in the reading room back right after the last episode, I think. So I don't remember the details.
Yeah,
that was
a month ago.
Yeah. Let's see. U.S. soldiers told to ignore Afghan allies. Abuse of boys. That's pretty shocking. Go read that story. I didn't want to get into that. Hillary Clinton campaign worker broke election law.
That's
we just keep breaking
news?
These. It's news that nothing is done about it.
Right.
Doesn't seem to do anything. They just keep breaking election law.
Yeah.
That's all right. Oregon Sheriff, gun control is not the answer, he says. So, I don't know. Seems credible.
Sheriff. What's this geography of left-handedness? Don't make me click it. What does it show?
I just thought it was interesting. It doesn't really have that much to do with politics, except...
It talks about the left, which is kind of great.
There's not an even distribution of left-handedness across the United States.
Well, we need to remedy that. That's ridiculous.
Maybe we need a gerrymander.
And they're concentrated in New England.
Interesting.
Yeah. So really, you know, if you look at that story, just look at the map. The map's the most interesting part of the story. Yeah. It didn't really have a tie into politics other than, you know, New England is...
A bunch of lefties.
What about New Hampshire? Live free or die, baby. New Hampshire's not liberal. It's a red state, baby.
Lefty, Rob. Lefty. Left-handed.
Sinistral. That's a good word for left-handed.
I don't care. a couple more things. Hurricane Joaquin missed the United States. 10 years without a major hurricane making landfall in the United States. Category 3 or higher has not landed, landfall in the United States.
That's climate change for you right there, right?
They said they were going to be more frequent and worse.
Well, maybe they're not going to hit land. They didn't say they hit land.
They were wrong.
And maybe Joaquin Andujar, who's now up in heaven, has protected
that's right.
He protected his hemisphere.
Patron saint of hurricanes.
Yeah. And speaking of predictions being wrong,
you're going to bring this up, aren't you?
Two episodes ago, Mr. Jerry.
Yes,
I heard it here first, folks.
I predicted Scott Walker would be the GOP. I think I agreed as well.
I'm sure you did.
I think I did because I liked it as well. And then whammo. Yeah, I was a little shocked by that.
I was not shocked. I couldn't believe he made it as far as he did. He looked stoned during the first debate.
Can we have another prediction?
Go ahead.
I don't have one right now. Can I get you next episode?
No, you need it right now.
Can we all agree that it's not going to be Trump?
I don't know. Is Biden going to run?
No.
Can we agree that it's not going to be Hillary for the Democrats?
Yeah, Hillary will be in jail before.
I still don't understand how this is dragging on. She should have left office and be on trial.
For what?
For what?
For which thing?
That's right. Run down the list.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
And what do you think it is? You think it's the server thing?
Yeah, the server thing. Yeah, just that minor detail about all the classified information on her own personal server. Yes.
Yeah. Most people would, you know, be in jail already for, or exiled to another country.
I think a lot about I believe it was the Jerry's postulate that Hillary lost the primary in 2000, whatever it was, to Obama, because there's a lot of people that don't like Hillary, and all those people are still around and they're still Democrats and they know what she's all done and they have a big old book on stuff and they're going to undermine her from the left. The right's got their book too, but I think we didn't hear about the server because of Daniel Issa. You know, it's like all this stuff is coming out from Democrats that are done with her and maybe the Clintons as a whole.
Yeah.
You say that like, oh, these mean people talking about Hillary.
Well,
this is a problem.
It is a problem. Well, I'm not defending any Hillary on this show. I never have.
Get the hell out of here.
No Hillary fan. I can't wait for somebody.
You mean her appearance on SNL this week wasn't enough to turn it around?
I actually didn't even watch it. Was it good?
It wasn't bad. All right. They completely avoided the email issue, though.
Yeah, they must have had some, don't talk about.
Yeah, I'm sure her campaign wouldn't have allowed her to appear if they were going to go there. But.
What about the book? I forget the name of the book that's being released by former Secret Service, but it has a lot of interviews, and they within the Secret Service associated being assigned to Hillary's detail as punishment.
Oh, really?
And, I mean,
for what reason?
Because of the way she treated them. And if these stories are true, holy cow, what a terrible person.
Right.
Just...
I'd believe it.
Just horrible.
Yeah, and you know, she doesn't get better with age.
No.
Come on, fellow Democrats out there. Wise on up.
All right.
Oxymoron.
I think we have reached the end of yet another episode. So, thank all of our listeners for checking us out. Send us your feedback. You can send that to feedback@MidwestPeaceProcess.com or leave a comment on our Facebook page. Send us a tweet on Twitter. All that good stuff. Check us out on YouTube also. You guys got anything else?
No, I got nothing.
That's it.
All right. We'll see you next time.
Good night.
Bye now.